Thank you so much, Sharon. Hearing the marimba kind of makes me feel like we're in a tropical place. Oh, wait, we are. We're in Roseburg. Near the cross. Near the cross. Be my glory ever. Till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond. River. I praise God for the opportunity to be here together in the house of the Lord on this Sabbath day, and I'm so glad that you are here as well, because you are not here by coincidence. Everything God does has a purpose, has a reason, and I believe that God has something for you and for me this day. Let us bow our heads. Loving Father above, you who does all things well, we come into your presence and we are at peace. We are at rest. And I thank you that at least at this time of the year, we see everything growing around us, the flowers, the plants, the produce. And Father, you're growing us too. So we ask that you'll send us rain from above. Send us your spirit and draw us close to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hiding in thee. You know, I started to think about what the oldest game in history was. My clicker isn't working. I'm not sure if the cable has changed. Not just yet. Maybe we might have to go manual. I can see it. It's just not changing slides. All right. Well, then, when I just give you the nod, you can change the slides. And that would be that nod. I guess my computer might be... Actually, let's go back one slide. Would you happen to... can you think about what the oldest game in the world is? It would be hide and seek. Absolutely. In fact, that's what we see in the scriptures, hiding and seeking. Let's go to that next slide. In fact, we have to take a step back and think about how all of this began. To be honest, today we'll be laying down some foundation because there's just too much to dive into just in one episode, just in one gathering. So I don't attempt to get into all the details into this hiding and seeking today, but just enough for today. Let's go to the next slide. It takes us to something that happened a long time ago, something that happened up in heaven. Oh, it works now. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 to 15, the Bible says, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High, yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit." This is what the scriptures tell us in regards to what exactly happened in the very beginning. And you could be thinking that there's no such thing as a devil. In fact, there's many people in this world who don't even think that he's real. Well, newsflash, the devil is actually real. You see, the devil, he wanted the glory. He wanted to be exalted. He wanted the worship. He wanted the power. He wanted the preeminence and ultimately to be God Almighty. You see, that's what got him kicked out. He wanted to be God. He wanted everything to worship him. Revelation gives us a piece of this picture. The Bible says in Revelation 12, 7 to 9, and war broke out in heaven. Michael, which is a military name for Jesus. Michael means who is like God. Well, the one who is like God is Jesus. And Jesus is not only like God, he is God. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, praise God, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives who? The whole world, even people who could be living in Roseburg. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. You see, Satan's allegations were the following. Number one, God is not love. He's some egotistical tyrant. Worship him, follow him. I don't think so. That was his first allegation. He continued by saying God is not fair because he has like these things that we're supposed to follow. It's like his law. And nobody could ever keep his law. I mean, it's like wearing a straitjacket. It's no fun. I mean, we're in heaven. Aren't we supposed to have fun? He could have said. He was saying God's law is not fair and nobody can keep it. So why even have a law? Because nobody could even come close to keeping his law. In fact, if I had my way, I think it needs a little change here and a little change there, and God's law would be so much better. In fact, if I were God, this universe would be a much better place, he thought. And to an extent, we kind of live in that kind of place. Is earth better than heaven? No, it's not. Far from it. Where did all this animosity come from? Where did all these lies, all this jealousy, all this coveting come from? We are told the great creator assembled the heavenly host that he might, in the presence of all the angels, confer special honor upon his son. The son was seated on the throne with the father, and the heavenly throng of holy angels was gathered around them. The Father then made known that it was ordained by himself that Christ his Son should be equal with himself, so that wherever was the presence of his Son, it was as his own presence. The word of the Son was to be obeyed as readily as the word of the Father. His Son he had invested with authority to command the heavenly host. Especially was his son to work in union with himself in the anticipated creation of the earth. And every living thing that should exist upon the earth, his son would carry out his will and his purposes, but would do nothing of himself alone. The Father's will would be fulfilled in him. You see, Lucifer was not too happy that he didn't get the invite to this creation planning meeting. He wanted to be part of that discussion because he himself thought that he should be God, because God can create. And he as a creature could not create. You see, what's that one commandment that refers to God as creator and the one who has authority over heaven and earth? Oh, that's right. Turn with me. I know we know these words, but we'll look it up anyway. The Bible says, Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11. You see, we've been on a journey. We started with taking a look at the character of God and how the Bible says that He is love, and how in His creative works, His love is expressed. Then we saw the culmination of the creation week in the Sabbath, and we spent a couple of weeks on the Sabbath, and here we see this beautiful commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. Why? For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So here's a sequence of events that we see. First, we see the war in heaven. Not only do we see that war in heaven, but Satan is cast out at the conclusion of that war in heaven. And then we see God create this world, where He makes all that the eye can see, and what the eye cannot see, God makes it. And He tells our first parents that they can eat from every tree except one. Mango tree, you can eat from that tree. Pear tree, that one. Banana tree, avocado tree. Just one. You can't eat from that tree. That kind of sounds like a fair game, don't you? I think that is doable. You see, the story of redemption, page 24. When Adam and Eve were placed in the beautiful garden, they had everything for their happiness which they could desire. But God chose, in His all-wise arrangements, to test their loyalty before they could be rendered eternally secure. They were to have His favor, and He was to converse with them and they with Him. Yet, He did not place evil out of their reach. Satan was permitted to tempt them. If they endured the trial, they were to be in perpetual favor with God and the heavenly angels. You see, God was testing their loyalty. Are you guys really following me and worshiping me because you love me? Or because you just want the benefit? Do you really love your Creator, your God, who would then be their Savior? I'd like to say that only Adam and Eve's loyalty was tested. But guess what? Your loyalty and my loyalty is tested every single day. You see, we think the devil isn't going to tempt me. He's busy tempting somebody else. He's not coming to my block today. Well, guess what? He is. He's got your address. He knows. We think, I got it under control. So when he does come, easy peasy. I can do this. We think the war is over. Did the devil lose the war in heaven? Yes, he did. He then brought the war down here to earth. And guess what? You're in this war, and I'm in this war. Is the war over? No, how do we know that? Because my address is still in Winchester, when I can't wait for it to be up there. Can we have that assurance today of eternal life? Yes, we can. But the war is not over. How did the tempter deceive Eve? Because I'd like to learn a bit about that myself, because I don't want to be deceived. How about you? Well, he waited for the right time. You see, he was so purposeful about this attack on mankind that he didn't even send one of his imps. He said, no, I'm only going to get this shot once, and I'm going to do it myself. He thought, if I go just head on at them, they're going to think, you know what, this is the one we've been warned about. No, can't do that. I'm going to wait and use deceit as my weapon. So he waits for when she was alone. You see, we think we can make it by ourselves. We can't. We need a buddy. You know, recently my wife and I, we picked up some kayaks since it's nice weather. And we had not had kayaks before, so I made sure to read the manual. I mean, what's to use in a kayak? How hard can it be? You get inside, you paddle. But I did read that you should not paddle without a buddy. So this past Sunday, we went out for the first time. And I'm glad that we went out together, because this was my view on that afternoon. Do you see my buddy? Bad things were coming her way. There's this big branch. And so I quickly took a picture after I yelled out, "Baby, watch out!" And then accordingly she adjusted. You see, being alone is not good. Next time you do laundry, you can think of the following. Everyone stay together. Because those socks have a way of going all over the place. If that is in regards to simply kayaking, if that is simply in regards to doing laundry, where we like our socks stained together, what about the most important thing in life? What about our day-to-day journey? What about the temptations that come our way? Should we not stay with our buddy? You might be thinking, but Pastor, some of us here are married, some of us here are not married. Well, that's not what I'm talking about. Let's go to John 15, verse 5. John 15, verse 5. The Bible says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth what? Much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing." Nothing. Strong enough against the tempter? Yeah, right. Last time I checked, there was a third of the angels that slipped on that banana peel. Strong enough? Me? I am not. We are not. Without me, you can do nothing. It's time for the buddy system. It's time so that wherever he goes, I go. And if he's not there, don't go there. Sounds simple, doesn't it? Easier said than done. What should we do when we're alone? Ever thought about that? Because usually bad things happen when we're alone. Amen? Okay. Go where God wants you to go. That's what we should do when we're alone. But also do what God wants you to do. And most importantly, and last, stay with Jesus. You see, our problem is that we rationalize the small stuff. As if small stuff ain't that deep. Take a look at this. It is transgression in the little things that first leads the soul away from God. By their one sin in partaking of the forbidden fruit, Adam and Eve opened the floodgates. That's like a lot. Of woe upon the world. Some may regard that transgression as a very little thing. But we see that its consequences were anything but small. When we're tempted, we need to ask, am I in a safe place? If we're not in a safe place, it's time to relocate. But also, what has God said about where I'm at? We should remind ourselves that there's no such thing as a small temptation. Amen? A small temptation equals a big sin. Right? Because we are told by the small temptation in the Garden of Eden that opened the floodgates of woe into this world. Small temptation? I don't think so. Small temptation is big sin. How did the tempter deceive Eve? Well, he disguised himself. You see, she did not expect that he would come the way he did. He had heard that he was a very, very high-ranking angel, that he was dazzling, and that he said pretty words. But what she did not expect, that he would come in a form that was unsuspecting. Interesting. A snake. Not just that, back in those days, snakes flew. Do you know how the tempter is going to tempt you? Because we think we know. Granted, some of the temptations we do know. But then there's others that we do not know. It's interesting how temptation works. It's kind of like that coil behind me. A snake slowly starts wrapping. As we give in to and welcome and allow that temptation to stay there, the coil starts forming. So that by the time I realize I'm at a really, really bad place and situation and I try to get out, guess what? I can't. It's too late. And we commit sin. Recently, a few weeks ago, I read an article about this woman in Indonesia that had disappeared, and they were looking all over for her. And one day, they found this large python that looked as if it went to hometown buffet every day. They slit that python, and they found the woman. Intact. The interesting thing is, I didn't show the picture of that on purpose. That would just be too much. The interesting thing is, she was swallowed whole, beginning with her head. Ironic. Isn't that where the tempter attacks us? With what's going on in our head. The choices that we make. Expect the expected, but expect a war so that we lose our focus on Jesus. But I got a question for you. Since when do animals talk? Besides Balaam's donkey. I mean, granted, animals do communicate with other animals. They have sounds and so forth. But since when do animals talk? God purposely made the animals not to talk. And you know what? Could the devil even be deceiving or having some deceptions today in age with animals that supposedly talk? This is just a small representation of what that looks like today. Since when does a lion talk? A wild boar? Since when does an elephant fly and talk? Or ducks talk besides quacking? And we get conditioned to believe in things that are not real and true. The Bible tells us, Philippians 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these. Are there things that I'm partaking of that don't fit this Bible principle? If there are, it's time to make some decisions. How did the tempter deceive Eve? Well, he attacked God's character in his deception. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 5, page 738. It was by falsifying the character of God and exciting distrust of him that Satan tempted Eve to transgress. Supposedly, God was bad. Supposedly, God was unloving and unfair and unjust. Is that our God? No, it's not. Far from it. He minimized God's word. It kind of went something like this in chapter 3, verse 1 of Genesis. Has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? Chapter 3, verse 4. Let me enlighten you. You're not really gonna die. Because what God said isn't true. I mean, look at me, I'm chomping away at this apple and it sure tastes good and I'm alive. So you surely won't die. Verse 5, God doesn't want you to be gods because God knows good and evil. And if you partake of this fruit, you will know good and evil. So God really must not love and care about you. He's just some, what's that word? Narcissist. And you know, today we do the same. How so? By minimizing God's word. How? Not letting Scripture interpret Scripture. You see, when I read the Bible, which is God's book, God's word, I can't say this is what it must mean according to Tony Rodriguez. It must be how Scripture interprets itself, for it's the Word of God. Reading Scripture subjectively so that I reach my own conclusions that contradict the rest of Scripture. You see, I not only need the New Testament, I need the Old Testament. I need them together. But not just that, I need to give God's Word and the Holy Spirit time and a place to change my life, because this isn't some book I just go to when I'm up a creek without a paddle. I need time with God in His Word, so I come to know who God is. How did the tempter deceive Eve? By false promises of freedom. Isn't that what He does with us? Oh, you'll feel better if you do this. Oh, this is really exciting. Nobody knows, just you and I. Satan tempts men and women to disobey with the promise that in disobedience they will find liberty and freedom that will make them as gods. There is seen a spirit of opposition to the plain word of God, of idolatrous exaltation of human wisdom above divine revelation. May my supposed wisdom never be placed above divine revelation. How did he deceive her? Attacking her faith and trust in God. It was distrust of God's goodness, belief of his word, and rejection of his authority that made our first parents transgressors and that brought into the world a knowledge of evil. Is God still good? No, is he good? This is the question we are posed when we're tempted. Is God good? Because if God is so good, when the tempter comes my way, I can simply say, no, thank you. Because when he comes my way and I entertain his insinuations, I'm saying, the devil, you're better. Because what you're offering me is something that supposedly I have not been given already. Is God good? God is good. God is great. God is love. God is amazing. And God has plans for your life even today. You might be thinking, Pastor, I kind of feel like that woman you've been talking about all sermon long. I feel like I messed up this week. I feel like I messed up not just this week, but I feel like I messed up again. The Bible says, a righteous man falls 7 times and gets back up. The hope in that verse isn't necessarily the times of the falling, but it's actually what we do about it. The righteous man may slip, but they get up. What's my invitation to us today? Get back up. Get back up. Time goes by, and the days and months continue. And we think that it's just going to keep on going. We have our calendars, we have our plans, but guess what? Is the war over? No, it's not. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15, the Bible tells us, while it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Today, God is talking to your heart. Today, God invites you to come unto him. Today, God wants to give you victory over whatever you've been facing, but you will only find that victory in him. You will only find it in your buddy. Don't leave him. You might hit a branch or two. Someday soon, we're going to be singing a song. And it's a song for all ages. It's a song that you've never heard before. Because the things that the Bible has said will come true. The Bible says, Revelation 15, verse 2 to 4, and I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire. And those who have victory over the beast, over his image and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. You see, this group of people, who are they? Aren't these the redeemed? I think so. Redeemed from what? Redeemed from sin and death. That's what they're redeemed from. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, who takes away your sin and my sin. This week is going to be a different week. This week is going to be a week of victory. This week, we're going to stay closer to our buddy. This week, we're going to hold on to him of which we are instructed to abide in. For apart from him, we can do nothing. I don't know about you, but I want victory in Christ today. How about you? As we commit our lives to him in song, may we stand hiding in thee.
Stand with me as we sing. So sweet.
Father, thank you for you have provided the way to come to you, Jesus Christ. Thank you because you have made provision so that we can be forgiven. You have given us power from heaven above so that we can be faithful, so that we can have victory. For apart from you, we can do nothing. May we not minimize temptation, nor your word. May we trust you with our being. Bless your children. In Jesus' name.